Joel didn't let me open my own bottle this week.
It didn't have a rip-off bottle, or whatchamacallit bottle.
Very sweet.
Not bad, very sweet. Today we're drinking the Jarritos pineapple version. Mexican soda.
69% of this is just sugar.
Oh my god, that's a lot of sugar. That
69.
Might be, that's a huge amount of sugar. You are correct. I like it. It's a tasty. It is like a pineapple Jolly Rancher, as you may have mentioned in our last episode, the last drink tasted like.
Joel, can we go over some good media that we've consumed in the past month?
Sure. If you haven't picked up yet, we are recording two episodes back to back. This is the second. We discussed goods and bads of our week on the prior episodes, so it seems kind of silly to do that all over again. Why don't you start, Naomi?
Okay, well, I just finished the third season of the show Sex Education. It's on Netflix. I think it's a Netflix original, and it has Scully from X-Files on it as the mom of the main character. I really like this show because it really just gives some good advice while also being extremely entertaining. I think it was going for like an 80s vibe, if I'm being honest, like the cars and the way that they dress. But obviously, they still have like the iPhone technology. So I really enjoy this show. I think it's really entertaining. I binged the third season very quickly. Sadly, I think there's only like 8 episodes in each of the seasons, but they were just renewed for a season 4. So that's exciting. I don't think that one of the main, I'm not going to spoil anything. Never mind. Another
enough.
Great thing that I saw was this weekend we went, Joel and I went to the Women's March, and I saw some really great signs, and at some point I'll be posting pictures of the great signs that I saw, but I had a sign that says, "My neck, my back, my pussy will fight back," and a lot of people found that really entertaining, but my favorite sign that I saw was "Abort Greg Abbott." That's what I call a late-term abortion.
Damn. Yeah, we should probably talk about going to the Women's March. I don't know if you feel there's anything worth bringing up there.
I think it was a great way to get people together and talking. I know there was like, I guess it's because I didn't do like a full like round of the main area where everyone was speaking before the actual march started. I didn't feel like a lot of people were there, but then once we started marching, I realized that a lot of people were there. A lot of men, women, and children. It was sad for me to see all of these young boys and girls and everything in between with their shirts on that said like feminist AF or something like that. It was like, why do children have to fight for things like this? Like it was just sad for me. Like I understand wanting to get your kids like involved in like social movements and like advocating for others early on. But like, it was just sad for me. I was like, this is really depressing to see all these children here. I did see quite a number of older women and older individuals there that were, they had signs saying something along the lines of, this isn't our first time in this rodeo. And that was sad as well, the fact that they were fighting in the 70s and are still fighting to this day.
Yeah, that kind of bothered me. I was a little disappointed by all these people I'm seeing in their 70s and 80s who are like, yep, same shit, different decade. And it's like, it's annoying that human rights have not, you know, kind of worked themselves out in the last couple of years. I guess I kind of understand what you're saying with, like, young people having to fight these battles. And I don't know if it's really them fighting the battles so much as it's their parents. I don't know. The week we're recording this is the week of, it's October 3rd.
Yeah, it's the first weekend in October.
And, you know, there's a comment President Obama gave, or former President Barack Obama gave last week that riled up some people on the interwebs. But he was talking at a speech, I think on the 1st, and said something to the effect of, you know, these young people, they inspire me. They give me so much hope in the future. And it's like, why are you putting all of the weight of changing the world on the people who have the least political power and least resources? Like, you're a very influential individual connected to multimillionaires and billionaires at all levels of governance across the world. What are you doing to solve these issues? You were elected in 2008 on a mandate to upend the system and make change, and it's disappointing to see that less has changed than we would have liked and that there's still a lot of room for improvement. So no, don't put the onus on us. I think there's a lot of people our age who are stepping up and making change, but this expectation that young people have to carry the way for the future, for the human race to continue to survive and thrive, it's disappointing, Naomi. So yeah, didn't want to segue too much. In terms of media, I really have not been watching a lot of TV or movies recently. I'm kind of boring. I did enjoy reading the book Sundown Towns, which was a history of sundown communities around the United States. Very informative, very well researched. Sundown communities are areas where people of certain ethnicities are not allowed to be after sunset and may suffer harsh repercussions if they're found to be there, and unfortunately seem to be far more common than people would like to recognize. But on a happier note, on the last series I watched on Netflix that I really enjoyed was Maniac. Naomi, did you see that? It's kind of weird. It's set in like an alternate future 2020. And so like technology is not very digital. It's like still manual tape decks and whatnot. But Jonah Hill's character has some mental health issues and is paired with Emma Stone's character in a drug trial where they're trying to test a drug that cures trauma. And things go wrong and they become linked together in a virtual simulation and have to live out a variety of lives as couples and people trying to, you know, heal their respective traumas and overcome adversity to, you know, find someone who can give their life like meaning and support. It's excellent acting. The plot moves along quickly. The soundtrack is phenomenal. I couldn't recommend it more. It's like the first piece of media where I've been like, oh, Jonah Hill, Emma Stone, they got acting chops. So I was very impressed. But yeah, that's Maniac on Netflix. Saw that a while back. I greatly enjoyed it. Check it out.
Check it out.
So, Naomi, we are hopefully going to be launching this episode right around Halloween. I think we wanted to make this kind of a quick one and discuss Halloween in general.
And, oh my God, you know, do you want to hear what I'm dressing up as for Halloween?
What are you dressing up as Halloween?
I'm not a big like Halloween, like I haven't been celebrating Halloween the past couple of years, obviously because of like COVID and things like that.
But you're going to be 21.
I know, so exciting. It's my first Halloween being 21, freshly 21. I'm going to be Hugh Hefner and my friends are going to be Playboy bunnies.
Exciting.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Like
you're
men,
gonna put
women,
some, like,
children,
old
friends.
Age like makeup on.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you be carrying around like a big stack of vintage Playboys?
Yeah, I'm planning on doing that and also having a shirt that just says like creepy man alert or something.
Beautiful. Do you want a plastic pipe? I have a plastic pipe I may be able to lend you.
Is that from the event that we went to when we were way younger that we shouldn't have been cosplaying with plastic pipes with?
The funeral, yes.
It wasn't a funeral. I thought that was a birthday.
Oh, was it his birthday?
I thought it was his 90th.
Oh, you might be correct. Okay.
Yeah.
I probably will not be doing anything for Halloween this year. I will be traveling. I will be away out of the country. I may find something to do. I think we'll be in Germany at that point, and I'm sure there's exciting Halloween celebrations up there. Probably lots of opportunities to get drunk, I'm sure.
Oktoberfest. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I do want to, you know, talk about just Halloween in general, because I think it's a great opportunity to, you know, let people's hair down, meet up with your friends, drink some weird cocktails, eat way too much refined sugar for one human to process, all that good stuff. But I think that, you know, there's also cool opportunities for, you know, parties and crazy costumes for you and your partner. And, you know, it's worth just discussing, you know, what's appropriate, what's, you know, something you can expect of your partner, and what are some good ideas to plan that out. I am interested, Naomi, what are some costumes you've worn in the past?
What are things you've dressed up as? Several years, when I was like little, I would dress up as a witch.
Still does every day, am I right?
I don't think that our parents necessarily like went out and bought us costumes every single year. Like, I don't remember that.
I think they did like 2 years. I seem to recall having a Darth Maul and a Darth Vader costume.
Okay. I remember a witch costume. I remember a devil costume. And I think a mermaid costume because somebody gave it to me for Christmas.
That sounds right. I think I recall you as super young and dressing up like a pumpkin.
I think that was like when I was like an infant.
Yes, very young. Yeah, I don't recall a lot of the costumes I dressed up as. Yeah, Darth Maul, Darth Vader. We went to a school with a set uniform that happened to look like a Target employee. One year I was going out dressed as a big iPod. This was mid-2000s. People,
God, you're just
me.
Just like racking up these really weird memories for me.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'd made this out of cardboard and didn't really consider the design. So my knees kept thwacking into the costume.
Thwacking.
And then eventually it kind of just ripped apart. So I came home and dressed as a Target employee the rest of the evening. People seem to enjoy that. I do recall when I was very young, dressing up as George Bush at some point.
Oh,
with a
God.
Mask from a family friend.
Yeah.
That went over well. This was 2007, 2008.
Didn't this George Bush like mask have like a really long nose, like a Pinocchio nose?
Yes. To be clear, this is George W. Bush, not George H.W. Bush. That would have been a
George
reference.
Heated War Crimes Bush.
Heated War Crimes Bush. Yes, the politics podcast ate these guys. Yeah, so like, I really haven't celebrated Halloween in recent years. You know, I go to Halloween parties, but they're not like any pressure to dress up in costumes. The most recent thing I dressed up as was a character from Fargo season one. And that was just because I had a coat that kind of looked like him.
I did that freshman year of college. I was going to a frat party with some friends that like hadn't been to like a frat party at ASU before.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, it's a costume party. And I didn't realize it. And I really didn't like plan ahead. Like I didn't go to Spirit Halloween or anything. So I just like went with things that were in my closet and sure. I ended up dressing up as like an emo kid, put like little stars near my eyes and like really heavy makeup and like
if some- you have all the tools to dress up like an emo kid, is it possible you're just an emo kid?
Shut up. I don't
answer
hear
the
it.
Question.
I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, so like I think we've played it pretty low key. I know other people can go like really intense, but I do want to like really hammer home the idea of couples costumes. So you've been dating someone and
how long?
I don't know. That's a good question. How long do you have to date someone before you propose the idea of couples costume?
A couple of months.
I would say, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't do. I wouldn't do like a couple of weeks because unless you're like really into Halloween.
Sure. And I would say the longer you've been dating someone, the higher the expectations you can have if you really want to dress up and, you know, be cute. I think it's, you know, a cute way to do activities together. It's a great way to practice like planning ahead, putting in some legwork to impress your friends, you know, the general public. If you decide to go to an event which has a costume contest, maybe you're like huge nerds. You enjoy like cosplay. That's totally fine. Whatever floats your boat. But, you know, that's a good opportunity to, you know, test your cosplay costumes before you go to a Comic-Con or another convention. It's, you know, an easy way to look put together, too. Like, you got your relationship sorted out, which for some couples is important to make sure that the world recognizes how cool and good you are. And it's a great way of seeing if the other person likes to do or is even capable of coordinating activities. So, yeah, I think it's, you know, a fun little litmus test. It's a great way to blow off some steam. It can, you know, involve some creativity. It's a fun activity. I'll say, though, that wearing costumes, it's not really an opportunity to dunk on friends. Like, make sure that the costume you're wearing kind of matches the general vibe of the event. If you're just showing up to get drunk with some friends, like, maybe don't go all out with your, you know, 150-hour costume you've created for the sole purposes of winning Halloween contests at, like, Comic-Con. Keep in mind that, you know, a lot of people aren't professional prop makers. There's no real reason to go wild. I don't think that a lot of costumes should take more than a couple hours to throw together or find components for, and they definitely shouldn't be like a source of stress, right? Naomi, have you ever worn a costume that's taken you more than like an hour or two to like find the components for or put together some pieces for?
No, because I'm really not that into Halloween.
That's totally fair. This was a good episode idea.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great episode.
So I would say my preference, you can disagree if you want, is to find something that can be reworn elsewhere. Don't lean towards like the fast fashion accessories that you're going to wear once. Don't find like, you know, crazy alien masks or like weird hot dog bun costumes at the store where there's really one venue you can wear a hot dog man costume.
I know this is like super played out in The Purge, like the first Purge movie came out like years ago, but I still am so into those Purge masks. The ones that like light up. Like, I think those are so great.
They're pretty cool. I would say, you know, if you're going to get one, you know, get something that can be reused on a couple of occasions.
Yeah, for The Purge.
Yeah. Well, you know, go to your Halloween party and then the next evening when it's actually a Halloween, you know, sit outside in the bushes outside your house and scare children.
So rude. Oh, my God.
Side note, when I was in high school, one of my teachers had a husband who was, I don't know if he did a lot of hunting, but was really into like the aesthetics of hunting. Okay. And so had a lot of like hunting equipment and camouflage and whatnot. And he would like hide outside in a ghillie suit under a pile of leaves and scare children when they were like walking up his path, which I feel is the height of being an adult. I think there is nothing more enjoyable than terrifying little children.
Didn't they have a kid together too?
Oh, of course. Yes. Maybe he scared that child. I don't know. Maybe that's where it came from.
So sad.
So yeah, I would say find something to be reworn elsewhere. You know, use stuff that's already in your closet. Don't lean into stuff where you're going to buy it at Spirit Halloween and it's going to find its way to Goodwill in a couple of months. Don't get something that's super clunky. That'll make sitting miserable. Often at these parties, you're going to be on your feet for a while. And if you do want to sit down, don't get, say, a iPod costume that prevents you from sitting down unless you remove every
like
single component.
Standing up pants versus sitting down pants.
Exactly. Yes. As good as leather pants make you look, it's very difficult.
I can sit down. Okay. I came home from dinner the other night. I went out with this guy and I came home from dinner and I was wearing these leather pants and Joel was like, "What is that sound?" And I was like, "Those are my pants."
They were so noisy.
I think that I just like tune them out at this point because I love wearing my leather pants. But Joel's like a hater of everything leather in my life right now.
I don't find it a comfortable material. We'll say that.
No, it's like fuzzy on the inside and then like leather on the outside.
Okay, that changes the calculus a little bit. But yes, you know, if they're really tight, you are going to have issues sitting down or even just taking them off, go to the bathroom. Look, if you're getting drunk at a party, being able to go to the bathroom is very important.
That's
don't
true.
Discount that.
Once you open the canal, it can't be closed.
Yeah, especially in Arizona. Don't get something that's too thick, too warm. October's here, can be quite warm. I did check the seasonal average. The high is typically about 82 and the days, lows about 54. That said, it can still be pretty hot on Halloween. I recall a Halloween we had a couple years ago that I think was in the high 80s, even in the evening. That's not pleasant. Plan for the worst unless you plan to be spending the entire evening indoors. Don't wear stuff that's going to make you super uncomfortable because then you just have to, you know, strip down. Maybe that's that kind of party. I don't know, but at least account for that. I think participation elements, if you have like a couple costumes are nice, you know, two things that pair together, I don't know, like salt and pepper, or I've seen a couple of costumes which are like Instagram screens and, you know, one person is, you know, one and the other is the other person. You can like swipe pieces of their costume. I think that's kind of cute. Again, I think that's a lot of work and you're probably going to be trashing a lot of the costume after Halloween. So don't go overboard on it. Goofy bits are nice, not too serious. Yeah, keep it lighthearted in general. Like, don't pretend that, you know, the costume needs to make you look super professional. On the other hand, like, don't go super unprofessional and lean into cultural stereotypes or anything. I feel I'm touching on everything. One of the big points is don't punch down in your costume. Don't attack groups that are worse off than you. And I find this is something that's often disregarded by individuals who purchase Halloween costumes.
I think this really came to light a couple of years ago. I remember this like happening when I was like maybe in high school, and the cultural appropriation like elements of or just costumes in general really came to light. And there was like whole blogs and things of that sort about like websites about like costumes that you shouldn't buy, i.e. talking about like native appropriation,
sombreros, kimonos,
sorry, indigenous
Native American,
people,
yeah,
indigenous people's appropriation.
Sure. Yeah, so I do want to talk a little bit about that. So in general, there's this idea in comedy that you shouldn't ever punch down. If you're a comedian, you should always be attacking groups in power, even not attacking, just making fun of. You know, if someone's on the bottom of, you know, society, there's no reason they need to continue being mocked and disdained. That means you probably shouldn't be, you know, making fun of homeless people.
Well, a lot of people, I don't think that they think of it as like making fun of, but of course you have to think about it from like, and I hate to like say this, I don't think they mean to go out of their way to like make fun of a person, but I think that they don't understand the implications that the other person feels about the costume.
It's not even like the implications of how that person feels. It's the effect it has on discourse. You know, if being a homeless person is just another prop, it's another opportunity to, you know, dress quirky or be weird, I think people don't consider the issues as serious. You know, it's dressing up as a homeless individual, dressing up as a disabled individual, dressing up as a illegal alien.
All of these
like
are
that.
So fucked.
Yeah, it's messed up. So I did want to, you know, talk a little bit about cultural appropriation, considering that when putting on a costume. And I think cultural appropriation is a term that, you know, has become more commonly used in the last few years. And like many things in the proverbial cultural wars, is often misunderstood. I think it's worth noting that my personal understanding of cultural appropriation is not that it is inherently bad to wear elements of other people's cultures. Not that it's bad to, you know, you as a white person to be making Chinese food at your restaurant. It's to consider the impact of borrowing elements from other cultures on said cultures and how people talk about them. And there's a good article from NPR in October of 2019 that discusses this. So the article is by Lila Fidel, and she talks about how a lot of costumes you can still find in stores today have some somewhat insensitive elements that have not aged well and will not age well moving forward. These are things such as Arab chic, ride a camel adult male, Mexican costumes with sombreros, ponchos, and handlebar mustaches, people who darken their skin to pose as black or brown people. If you're a white person, please don't dress up as Black Panther characters. And of course, generic Native American costumes are of women or men wearing fringe, suede, feathers, braids, etc. A lot of people in the Native community consider Halloween to be a big eye roll because it's deeply exhausting, seeing Native American costumes everywhere. So a number of people, such as Hinu Josephine Tarrant, a New York-based artist and performer of the Ho-Chunk, Hopi, and Rappahannock tribes, says that a lot of these stereotypes go deeper than what you're dressed like. When you really look at it and you study these tropes and stereotypes and what they mean and how they affect this Native people, they're all rooted in a historically violent past. The costumes depict indigenous people as a monolith frozen in time, she said. It really is a reflection of how we look to non-Native Americans and what we are to them. And the style is based on clothes worn during a violent time in the 19th century as white settlers move west, displacing Native American people on the land. I'm sorry, she says indigenous people on the land. In real life during this time period, during all these Dakota wars and these other wars and these removal acts and starvation and famine and tuberculosis, smallpox, I mean, there were so many sicknesses and violence that was attached to this time period. And as a reaction, there were some Dakota and Lakota didn't know what to do. This is a really destitute time in history, and so what they did was they held ghost feasts and ghost dances. The ghost dance shirt was worn for spiritual protection from violence, and many Native American costumes in the shops can be modeled off of this style of shirt. We aren't as seen as modern-day people at all. That's also what makes it really difficult for people to understand that what they're doing is offensive, Tarrant said, because for so long it's been really, I guess, ingrained into Americana, and cowboys and Indians is a part of it. So I think there's a couple of interesting points there. The first one is this idea that when you're wearing these stereotypical cultural costumes, you're not recognizing that there's lots of Native Americans today who, you know, pretty much just wear jeans and t-shirts and wander around and interact just like everybody else in society. It's very much an otherizing of them as a people. And, you know, the same applies when you're wearing, you know, I guess like a samurai or a geisha costume or a Mexican sombrero costume. No, these are people who probably live similar lives to you and aren't, you know, deeply rooted in the past. The other interesting thing is this concept of ghost dance shirts and how they're like tied to Native American rituals. And the same is true of headdresses. A lot of headdresses are designed to be like symbols of victories in battle. So it's almost like stolen valor when you're wearing a headdress and you were not a Native American fighting in wars and earning valor and recognition from your tribe for your contributions to the fight. It'd pretty much be dressing up like a trooper and pretending that you were someone who served in the armed forces. If you consider that bad, you can probably recognize why that's bad as well. So the article continues. Now, they cite a couple of people such as teacher Jess Lysis in Northbrook, Illinois, near Chicago. She sends out a letter each year to talk to parents and caretakers about the costumes that children wear, and I think it provides a good way of looking at the issue. Costumes should not become opportunities to turn a person's identity into a stereotyped image. While students might choose to dress as a famous person or character whose identity is different than their own, please reinforce the importance of not darkening skin or using makeup to change a child's skin color to match the person who they're dressing up to be. Students are often unaware of the long history these traditions have of causing harm and need our help in understanding why it can be hurtful and problematic. She says that having conversations ahead of time allows kids to see why somebody else's struggle shouldn't make up someone's Halloween costume. What's wonderful about children is once you help them see those things, they don't ever want to create that kind of situation. And the kids are so eager to make the right choice once you sort of show them that the problems exist. So, yeah, that article discusses, you know, generally just the importance. Don't attack historically marginalized groups. Don't fall into tropes that were historically used to caricature certain groups that were oppressed. Deeply consider whether or not people are going to be offended or you're going to be insulting the traditions of other groups while wearing certain costumes. And if you really have to ask, maybe move on to a different idea. Does that seem fair?
Yes, very.
Awesome. Two other things, just little final points for dressing up in couples costumes. I would say there's a lot of costumes I see that are couples costumes, and there's some weird implications, like if you dress up as siblings.
I had this boyfriend a while back, and this boyfriend liked to go into public places, and like we'd share an intimate moment, such as like kissing or a hug or something, and in a public place, and they would say something along the lines of "Thanks, stepsis," or something like that. Don't be that person.
But also consider if a photo is taken of you at a party, and most likely photos will be taken at these parties. Maybe don't look back in 15 years and question your life choices. Yeah, we're going to go over some costume ideas that were proposed on different websites, and a couple of them have me scratching my head. I'm not saying every costume needs to be asexual in nature and have like no romantic overtones, but again, I do have to wonder why people are such fans of dressing up as family members. It bothers me. One last thing is, if you're going to a Halloween party, you're probably going to be getting drunk and talking to a lot of people. I think it's a good opportunity to plug a lot of your favorite media, as we're doing at the beginning of this episode. Even if your costume's like super obscure, it's probably an opportunity to just like rant in someone's face without them being able to run away, as you talk about how great certain TV shows are. So if you want to take that opportunity, I would do that. So that is my general advice for giving costumes. Naomi, is there anything else you can think of?
No.
Excellent. So let's talk about some amazing Halloween costume ideas. So there's a couple of websites I found that have like dozens and dozens and dozens of like costume ideas. And the first one I gotta wonder is, why is it the women are always the sexy version of the costume? If you look at a lot of these, like there's practically none where the man shows more skin than the woman, and the man is meant to be like more sexually attractive than women. And maybe that's like a societal thing where like society generally admires women for being attractive and they like men for being goofier and control. But again, it's weird that we've been doing Halloween costumes for so long and they still are stuck in these stereotypes. Would you agree?
I would agree. Sorry, I didn't know if that was a statement or a question. You kind of just said words and then looked at me and in a questioning way.
I do that a lot.
Yeah, I do agree. I don't have a good answer for it, but I do think that a lot of people kind of just expect a lot of stereotypically manly men, I hate to say that, say that women's true sluts come out on Halloween. So that might be a part of it.
Well, let's touch on that. We had an episode on consent, Naomi.
Yep.
Is wearing a sexy costume consent for people to grope you?
I'm going to say no.
Oh, okay. I was expecting a different answer. Is wearing a sexy costume consent for people to have sex with you or to make sexually explicit comments at you?
Once again, I'm going to say no.
Or say things like, hey, sugar tits. Probably not. people like to be attractive. It turns out in a society that values attractiveness, a lot of people like to be attractive, whether for their personal self-esteem or to simply show off to their friends how attractive and cool and amazing they can be. That does not give you permission to grope them or make crude comments to them, unless the general vibe of the party is like very sexually explicit in nature. And even then, like, really, really put
get
out some feelers
consent.
In advance.
Yeah.
Figure out if that's really what's going on or you're just super drunk and oblivious. Yeah, always, I think, approach things with a degree of caution. Never make assumptions about this. Let women dress up as sexy as they want. Let men show as much thigh as they want. Let non-binary, agenderless individuals dress up how they please. Don't make judgments on their character. So I'm going to run some costumes by you, Naomi, and let's talk about reactions. So in turn, these are separated into different categories. We're on HalloweenCostumes.com, which claims to be the largest supplier of costumes around the world. They have many, 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 many costumes. So under the animal category, dressing up as two Care Bears. I kind of like that. No
Is
crazy
it like
connotations.
Sexy Care Bears?
They're like, no, they're just Care Bears.
Okay.
Wearing almost like snuggies that look like Care Bears.
I wouldn't like classify that under like animal costumes, but like, okay.
That's how they classify it, Naomi.
I'd classify under like cartoon costumes.
Mm-hmm. Do you think this is a good costume for couples?
Sure.
I think it's a good costume for friends too. Deer and Santa.
No, wrong holiday.
Well, it's a sexy deer and
wrong
not
holiday.
Sexy Santa. And also there's weird overtones there I don't like.
I don't like it either.
I think it would be funny if the woman was Santa and the man was the sexy deer. I think that could play well.
That's why I wanted to like go out with my friends and like all the guys in my group dress up as like Playboy bunnies. And
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I'd be Hugh Hefner.
Yeah. Fight these stereotypes.
Exactly.
In the streets and between the sheets. Honeybee and beekeeper. You don't see the guy's face. You see a lot of the woman in the bee costume.
You know, the idea of the costume, I think, is cute.
Yeah.
But it brings me back to the what was that Disney or like Pixar movie where the
Oh, the bee woman, movie with Jerry Seinfeld.
Where the woman falls in love with the bee.
And they're implied to have sex. Yeah.
Yeah.
What a cool film.
That reminds me of that.
Excellent. Mickey and Minnie. That seems innocuous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Red Riding Hood and Wolf.
No.
There were questions about consent in that story.
Yeah.
It's a also other implications of romantic partners dressing up like that. Safari and Lion. Boy, that man has a lot of thighs in this photo. So yes, it's a man dressed up as a stereotypical 1900s British big game hunter, the big curly mustache and what appears to be a shotgun, and then a sexy giraffe.
Giraffes.
It looks like a giraffe, but it says safari and lion. I don't fully understand.
You know what? I like the idea.
You like the idea of women being the prey?
No, I like the idea. I don't like the idea. I like the idea if it was like friends. I like the idea if it was like, if it was like a male and a male and they weren't sleeping together. Ooh. Or like a female and a female and
like
they weren't
sleeping
together. I like
the men and men who are sleeping together dressing up like that.
I would like the costume better if it was like if it was a friend costume, not a couple costume.
Fair enough. Winnie the Pooh, so Winnie and Piglet, similar to the Care Bears. I think that's innocuous.
Is it sexy Winnie the Pooh?
No. I'd mention if it was sexy Winnie the Pooh.
Sure, okay. Yeah.
Adam and Eve. I feel that it's a difficult costume to pull off without exposing a lot of skin, which if you're okay with, great. But I don't know if people want to see that much skin.
I feel like if I were to dress up as Adam and Eve with somebody that I know, I would get a lot of like Christians or like Mormons coming up to me and like...
It does seem like a very religious costume.
Yeah.
Just like, I thought of all my favorite characters from mythology and media, and I thought, who better than the first humans? You know, the ones born 5,000 years ago.
I feel like Zeus and Hera would be a bad costume. Because
they don't
like,
have a great relationship.
Aren't they like siblings too?
I guess technically, yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone's siblings in Greek mythology. It's okay. It's par for the course. Angels and devils. I think that's cute.
Yeah,
I think that can play either gender, occupying either space, or have, you know, two angels, two devils. That's kind of fun. Astronauts. Yeah. Reach for the stars. Cave people. Interesting. I always find it weird. People are like sexy cave people, the big sloping brows and Cro-Magnon features.
I don't like when people like dress up as the Flintstones. Something just doesn't sit right with me.
It's a weird relationship. It seems so very dated. Flintstones do not seem like a iconic costume.
Except the Flintstone gummies. If you were to dress up as a Flintstone gummy, you'd have major respect for me.
Right. So, Disney costumes. Oh, Aladdin. Aladdin and Jasmine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't like any of the Disney princesses' relationships with the princes.
Oh, then you'll love Cruella and the Dalmatian.
Okay, I kind of like that, though.
That's kind of cute. No real romantic connection.
Yeah.
Oh, you could also like do like a sexy BDSM version of that.
Yeah, I need to leave.
Frozen with the man being Elsa, the woman being her sister. That's kind of cute.
Okay. I can see that.
Incredibles. I think it's important that
I've seen
if
some
it's a heterosexual
really, really
relationship.
Bad. I've seen some really, really bad depictions of like the unrealistic expectations that people have of Mrs. Incredible.
Oh, or Big Butt.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Pixar butt.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need to do a whole episode on like cartoon media.
I love when people go to like costume or like they dress up and it's like he has Mr. Incredible and his body shape is so irregular that they just end up looking like a box.
Right. Or like the costume partially deflates like through the evening.
Yeah.
So then they're kind of
Yeah,
I would say, don't do the siblings of the Incredible family be Bob Parr and Helen Parr. Next one, John Smith and Pocahontas. Remember when we were talking about weird cultural appropriation? Yeah. Even if you're native, like, dressing up as the colonizer and the colonized seems questionable. Boy, that's a film that's still in the Disney archives. Good, good stuff. Snow White and a dwarf. Not the worst.
I don't mind it. It just depends on what dwarf. Like, is it Sneezy? Is it Dopey? Is it...
I want to be Dopey. I want to be Sleepy. I want to be Sleepy.
I want to be Sneezy.
Sneezy.
He seems cute. Oh my god, should Bean be Sneezy?
That's a great idea. Okay, funny costumes. Adult babies. The male figure is wearing a big diaper. The female figure is carrying a blanket, a giant bear, and is wearing like a long pajama. I don't like people wearing big old diapers in public. That bothers me.
I don't like when people dress up as
children. It feels fetishy.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Again, think of when you're going to be using this costume in other contexts. Hopefully there are plans. And if there are, ooh, I don't like that. Milk and cookie. I like that. That's innocuous.
Yeah, it's cute.
Same with salt and pepper.
There's nothing wrong with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe, I have an idea. Maybe like you should do like Cajun and like a pork rib. It's original.
It's certainly original. I'll give you that. Historical costumes. I do like how under historical costumes they have Adam and Eve. I think 1950s greaser and like dancing girl, like similar to Grease.
Yeah.
That seems good.
Pretty basic, yeah.
A little concerned about the 1970s version, which is John Travolta and then a lady with an afro. If an afro comes with your costume, maybe don't put that on.
Yeah.
That seems concerning. Cleopatra and Egyptian gods. Not the worst.
What about, okay, hear me out. Caesar and Cleopatra. How do you feel about that?
Weird relationship, but sure. That we seem distant enough that we can make fun of that.
Okay.
I do like they have a section gangster and flapper, and it's just two really buff guys standing next to each other. And I do like the idea of men going out as flapper girls.
Oh, I do like that idea. Yeah.
Yes, that seems pretty fun. Easter Bunny and a carrot. That seems way too like another holiday.
Easter Bunny and a carrot. Are you sure this isn't like just like a costume provider?
This calls HalloweenCostumes.com. It's possible they have specific ones.
Yeah.
Now, when I was talking about like weird relationships, here's one. Grinch and the Cindy Lou.
No.
Yes.
That sounds so weird and non-consensual.
It's pretty weird. Now, compare that to The Nightmare Before Christmas, which is Jack Skellington and his girlfriend, I believe, in the movie.
Yeah.
They're the same age. It's girlfriend, a consensual
wife.
Relationship.
I don't know.
Yes. I don't know enough about this mythology. I don't know. She's like a patchwork doll of some kind.
I'm looking this up. I need to know.
This is very important. On that note, I think the dressing up as the Addams Family is a good idea. They're a loving couple and a great relationship.
Sally. It's just his love interest. They never say like what she is, like girlfriend in
okay.
the title.
But yeah, I think that makes more sense as they appear to be in a loving consensual relationship. Similar to the Addams Family. Morticia and...
I don't know. I never watched Addams Family.
Okay.
I like the idea just like a singular costume is Wednesday Addams. I feel like people just really do really well with that.
It's a fun vibe. It is a fun vibe. Joker and Harley Quinn.
No.
Me. The question of the season.
No, absolutely not. That is such like a gaslighting, toxic
guys who dress up as the Joker bother me. I know I've already gone like on a rant about Joker memes,
yeah.
but there's also a certain subset of people. Maybe this was more common like when Facebook started, but like who really like, I don't know, if lack of better term, get off on dressing as the Joker.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I'm really creepy and no one understands me. And I have all these deep inner thoughts and I might seem nice on the outside, but really I'm a school shooter at heart. It's not a great look. Now, it's one thing to say I read philosophy books and sometimes I feel as though I think at a higher level than other people, which is a statement that makes you look like a douchebag. But doesn't imply that you have serious mental health issues and may shoot up a school. Please don't idolize the Joker character. It's perfectly
fine. Don't idolize him and don't idolize the relationship, the Joker and Harley Quinn relationship. I have met so many people. It's surprising to me how many people I've met. And they're like, oh, I want a Harley Quinn Joker relationship as my next relationship, like that dynamic. And I'm like, so you want a gaslighting, manipulative man to take over your life and make you feel insane.
Excuse me, under the couple's Halloween costume ideas, they specifically call out the Joker and Harley Quinn couple's costume. Quote, why so serious? Two of Gotham's famous villains, Harley Quinn and the Joker, have a relationship based on love and insanity. If you are in the mood for more causing a little more trouble, making people squirm with a truly demented sense of humor, then this pair of Batman villains might be the perfect couple's look for you. With costume choices running the gamut from scary to sexy. Boy, yeah, I really love making people squirm with my truly demented sense of humor. That's concerning to me. As is the suggestion to dress up with your partner as Gru and a minion. I really hope he wasn't banging the minions. That gives a different vibe to the whole movie. That's weird. I'm a supervillain and here are my slaves. They're not called slaves, but that's what they effectively
are. That makes me so incredibly uncomfortable that you just said that.
What?
The fact that I watched like one of the Minions movies and that was just like fricks up my entire, like the entire dynamic.
I feel that's very obvious. Like I haven't even seen the movies and that seems like a pretty clear message, but I don't know. Captain America and Black Widow. I think that's fine. Strong characters. Stand by their convictions. Seem like you can play around with the gender roles on that a bit. Speaking of family members, Jon Snow and Daenerys Targaryen.
I never watched Game of Thrones, so I don't know their dynamic.
I also did not. They are, in fact, siblings. I think half siblings, But that's something
makes
that's
me
want
to throw up.
Yeah. The costume website describes it as Renaissance themed costumes are an all time high to popularity, except maybe back when they weren't even a costume and people dressed like that every day. With hit shows like Game of Thrones and Vikings, that fact really shouldn't come as any surprise. Whether you prefer fire or ice or the sharp blade of an axe, we're sure to have a pair of Renaissance themed costumes that'll be a perfect fit for you. So yeah, they kind of just ignore the ancestral overtones. Ooh, what else? Captain Morgan and Coke. So it's a guy dressed up like Captain Morgan and Coke.
Like
just a Coke can.
I don't mind that.
Man, I want to be a Coke can. No, I think it's kind of cute. I mean, you do have to carry around a big keg all night, but maybe that, ooh, that's that. When I talk about participation earlier, that's a good idea. Having like a keg full of, I don't know, even just root beer would be great.
Yeah. I don't know if you can buy root beer full of.
I did. We went to Galco Soda Pop in Los Angeles. Remember? We bought that giant keg. It was like 64 ounces of.
That's only 64 ounces, though.
That's a decent amount of root beer, Naomi. That will.
But, like, if I'm going to get a keg, I'm going to get a keg to share my root beer with everyone.
Okay. Lush. My Captain Morgan story is I was working at my former job at Diablo Stadium. I won't go into details about it, but we were working around a game, doing different events to, we were doing different things around a game tangentially. I won't get into, you know, who I was working for, what we were doing exactly, but there was a Captain Morgan impersonator who was handing out shots of Captain Morgan rum to all the people of age, and a lot of people getting back in line over and over again, just taking shot after shot of Captain Morgan, which I don't know the alcohol content, but hey, you know, it's free booze. So anyways, I'm outside the stadium over near the dumpsters throwing some stuff out, and you hear from the field over the loudspeaker, and now, ready to throw out the first pitch of this season, a Tempe favorite, a hometown hero. And I'm thinking to myself, who is super famous? Is this like the mayor? Is this maybe like a former mayor? Is this David Spade, who went to ASU and is tangentially related? Is this like...
It's Pat Tillman's ghost.
It's Pat Tillman. Oh, God, that's going to age well. Dressed up like Pat Tillman.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I'm just thinking like who is famous enough to like, but like famous, but not too famous that they would have like better things to do that day than throw out a pitch. And finally they're like, you know him, you love him. It's Captain Morgan. And the Captain Morgan impersonator walked down the field and threw the first pitch.
He's a hometown hero?
And I'm like, are you calling us drunks? What the hell? Jeez, that's a depressing thought. That's my Captain Morgan story. Couple of emojis. Just get some emoji masks and wear them to a party.
I don't... people that make emojis in real life scare me.
That's fair.
Like, all the... You know when you go to, like, Five and Below or, like the dollar store or something?
Yeah.
And you see, like, all this, like, terrible merchandise related to the emojis?
Sure.
It just, like, creeps me out so much.
Right. Similar to that, Captain Hook and Tinkerbell creeps me out.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Captain Hook does not seem like a person who respects boundaries.
Isn't Tinkerbell like 4 inches long?
Yeah. You can size up diminutive characters.
No, what I'm saying is like...
Let's not get into the dynamics of Captain Hook and Tinkerbell. Bam Bam and Pebbles from the Flintstone. I believe these are both supposed to be infants on the show.
No.
A little weird dressing up as a costume.
Weird.
Where's Waldo and Winda, the female version of Waldo? I think that works.
That's pretty cute.
That's kind of fun, too, because you could also like stand in the corner of parties. And you can have your significant other be like, hey, have you seen Joel? 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 Oh, there he is. That's kind of fun. So yeah, those are some of the initial ideas. I do want to get into these two lists that respectively are from goodhousekeeping.com, which really has its finger on the cultural pulse, and Oprah Daily, which really, really has its finger on the cultural pulse. Couple of ideas, Naomi. Carpool karaoke Halloween costume. Put your karaoke skills to good use in this instant crowd pleaser. Use paint and washi tape to transform a yellow presentation board into a taxi. Adhere Velcro strips to the back so you can strap it around your necks. Before you head to the party, make a playlist and get ready to sing. I think it's kind of cute, kind of participatory, seems a little clunky, and
yeah,
I think a lot of Halloween parties are going to have a playlist already going, so you're just playing music over it. So unless you're like meeting people out in the park, yeah, not the greatest. Green with Envy Halloween costume, the one part of the couple dresses up entirely in green, and the other wears a shirt that says the word Envy on it.
I like that. That's cute.
It's low maintenance, easy to throw together. Greek gods Halloween costume. Dress up as like Aphrodite and Ares or Hermes.
Hermes.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Have like a big cardboard lightning bolt or something. It's not the worst. Just a general vibe. Instagram filters. Print out like a mock Instagram screen, like big size, and hold it over your face. Maybe bring some accessories along with you and have people take photos if they like. I think that can be cute.
Yeah, definitely.
Nintendo Switch. You dress up as the two little controllers on each side. And you hold hands the entire evening. I think that's
I feel like that'd be cute.
Dirty dancing Halloween costume. Mm-mm. Why not, Naomi? You don't like the idea of a 17-year-old girl achieving sexual maturity with a 35-year-old man?
Okay, isn't the basis of dirty dancing... Oh, wait, that's Footloose. Never mind.
Very different films. I don't think dirty dancing is going for an explicit message of like adults dating teens or anything. Unfortunately, that is kind of the core plot driver of the movie. So seeing it nowadays, you're like, I don't know. I think it's a fine
pedophilia film.
It has, I think, some good messages about like being an adolescent, being able to make choices for yourself and some positive role models. But yes, again, the core ideas can be a little disconcerting. Interesting. Harry Potter costumes, dress up like Harry and Ron, regardless of gender.
Okay, I like that.
That's kind of cute.
That's kind of cute.
It's kind of cute. Bob Ross and Happy Little Tree. So one person dresses up like Bob
that's
Ross,
cute.
The other dresses
that's
up
wholesome.
Like Little Tree.
Yeah,
it's cute. You probably have this lying around in your closet, dress up like a Men in Black character with your couple.
Yeah.
I think that works. Maybe if you have a little pug, you can be the little pug from the Men in Black films. Sweet Tooth. One person dresses up as a tooth with a big cardboard tooth. The other dresses up with little candy.
These are like sort of wholesome.
These are pretty wholesome. Yeah, I like them. The Shining Halloween costume. I want to see a couple where they're both wearing the creepy dresses of the girls in The Shining. Again, regardless of gender, just pretending to be twins with like creepy hair. And then like don't say a word all evening and just stare at people. That's a fun vibe. Get some like dark eyeshadow going. These are actually good ideas. I wanted to make more fun of them, but they're like not terrible. Oh, this is the one I was thinking of. Beetlejuice Halloween costume and Winona Ryder's character from that film, who I think was supposed to be 16 or 17. So you have Fooey. What's his name? The actor, he played Batman, not Val Kilmer. He was the Vulture in the recent Spider-Man film.
I know who you're
talking
about. He's
in Birdman. Okay, well, you have an actor in his 30s or 40s trying to date and or bang a 16 or 17-year-old, which, again, is pretty par for the course in these movies, but maybe don't, you know, mimic and reinforce some of these ideas by dressing up like a 16 or 17-year-old.
Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton. How did I forget Michael Keaton's name? You know, half of our podcast is just our listeners screaming at the, like, how do you not know that person? You'd be terrible
and
on Jeopardy.
And us just, like, typing, like, in the background.
Yeah. Katy Perry and Left Shark. Now, this requires some investment. I feel this is a meme that...
That was a meme that's... I feel like it should still be going.
I want a Left Shark costume.
People are like, oh, what are you? Are you just are you a shark? No, I'm Left Shark.
I am Left Shark. Boy, you know, again, I'm going through these, and these are not horrible. And just like Bonnie and Clyde, that's kind of fun and whimsical. I don't feel enough people know the history of Bonnie and Clyde. Don't people they murdered? So it's totally fine and acceptable. Dress up like the Up characters. So one of you be the old man with the dog, and the other be the house with the balloons.
That's kind of cute.
Yes.
Did you hear that the guy that they based that movie off of died recently, like in the past week?
A real man who tied a bunch of balloons to his house and flew away to deserted island?
I think he like came up with a storyline.
Oh, okay. Okay, so go over to the Oprah Daily website. The first suggestion is sumo wrestlers. Get ready to rumble with inflatable sumo wrestler
costumes. I
kind of
like that. Like you and your like significant other both dress up and you guys are like fighting or something the whole night.
I feel it does rub against cultural appropriation, but again, sumo wrestling is still something that they do, so it's not as bad as it could be. I think what you should do is have like a big bulky costume, but like have it be something you can take off so your friends can also like slam into each other.
Yeah.
When we had like the fall festivals at our school growing up, they had like sumo wrestling where you could like get into a big bulky suit, just ram into other people and try to force them to the ground. That was pretty good.
I feel like it's a little unsafe, but you know what?
Yeah.
Go off.
So yeah, they also mentioned Beetlejuice and Lydia, who is the name of the character. They refer to her as Winona Ryder's goth girl Lydia Dietz and Beetlejuice. And again, I find the power balance to be interesting there. Speaking of which, Hunter and Prey. Dress up as a hunter and a deer in the headlights.
I don't like that.
You don't like that? Why not?
It just seems a little someone's in control and someone's not.
Yeah. Someone's getting tied to the hood of my car later. Moving on. Sully and Boo. Hey, remember that lovely story about a monster who was looking out for a young girl who's afraid of the dark? Yep, now they're dating. Maybe not. I'm not a fan. What do you think?
I don't like it.
Okay. This one I thought was kind of funny. It's Game of Thrones, but one of the people was dressed up like Khaleesi with a Starbucks cup, playing off the fact in the final season they had really horrible editing.
That was really funny.
If you look vaguely similar, you could do Instagram versus reality, where one person dresses up really pretty and the other person dresses up like without the filter.
I feel like that'd be hard to portray unless you were like, it was like your twin.
Yeah, potentially. I think, you know, if you just get like a basic wig or something. I don't know. I feel this could possibly be bad if it feels like one person feels that they're meant to be the uglier version of the other person. So maybe skip that. You know what? I think we're nearly out of time. I did enjoy the Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy costume from SpongeBob.
Oh my God, you guys could take such cute pictures of you in the imaginary, in the visible car.
Exactly. I think that's probably the best thing you could do all evening. Winnie the Pooh and Christopher Robin. I think that's kind of cute. Mario and Luigi. Stereotypical tourists. Yeah, these are not...
I said stereotypical tourists, like the astrological sign.
Stereotypes. Like, what a thing for a Sag to say, Naomi.
Not a Sag.
Yeah, so, okay. I think we've done enough. We've given people some good ideas for Halloween costumes. If you need to throw something together last minute, hopefully some of these were good ideas. Again, you know, just... If this is something that's important to you, see if you can coordinate with your partner and throw something together. It's a fun way to, you know, show off that you're connected with this person and you can actually do things together.
Six stereotypical signs of a Taurus. They're dependable. They're persistent. They're loyal. They're stubborn. They're generous and giving. And they're kind.
They're stubborn and kind. Classic. This all makes sense. So Naomi, is there anything else we want to say for Halloween? I hope our listeners eat lots of tasty candy.
I hope everyone's
they get no malted
safe.
Milk balls or those shitty sweetums, sweet tarts, whatever they're called.
I love sweet tarts.
You love sweet tarts?
I love sweet tarts.
We're going to fight after this.
Okay. Sumo.
Sumo fight after this.
I hope everyone has a safe holiday. Be safe. Make sure that if you're going out that you are testing your drinks.
And it looks like we have a visitor.
So I hope everyone has a great Halloween, and thank you so much for listening.
Bye!
We have many thanks for the use of our theme music, which is the song Drop by Ketsa. You can find more of their music online at ketsa.uk. You can also find Date These Guys online on Twitter and Instagram at Date These Guys, or visit our website at datetheseguys.org. If you have questions you'd like us to discuss in the podcast or marriage proposals for either of us, shoot us an email at datetheseguys@gmail.com. If you're looking to make an impact, this show recommends giving either time or money to Planned Parenthood, a nonprofit organization that provides reproductive health care in the United States and globally. Planned Parenthood clinics and affiliates provide birth control and long-acting reversible contraception, clinical breast examinations, cervical cancer screenings, pregnancy testing, prenatal care, testing and treatment for sexually transmitted infections, and abortions. Planned Parenthood also does great work for those who can't afford traditional medical services. Approximately 4 out of 5 of their clients have incomes at or below 150% of the federal poverty level. Both Joel and Naomi are monthly donors to Planned Parenthood. You could be too. The intro and outro music of Why Will No One Date These Guys is from the song Drop by the artist Ketsa. It is licensed through Creative Commons, and we are deeply appreciative that they've allowed us to use it.